Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, I was reading to you from Erasmo Maricakis, who is actually known as Father Simeon. He's a Cistercian monk serving in Rome. He is the author of Fire of Mercy, Heart of the Word, a commentary on Matthew's Gospel. It's a thick book, but brothers and sisters, it's powerful. And I really encourage you, if you can, to read it or at least read parts of it. The only thing I can say is it brings the Word of God more alive to me than almost any other commentary I've read. I won't say it is the top because I'm not quite sure of that, but I am sure that it is among the top readings. I encourage you to get that volume. Just read. I mean, you've got a very thick volume. It's probably going to take you weeks to read, even one volume. He has four or five volumes. But if you just read a little bit every day, it will strengthen you. It's one of the finest commentaries I have ever read, and how much it means to me. So today, we now look at the feast of Saint Agnes. She was said to have been martyred in 304 at the age of 13, when her spurned suitors turned her over to Roman authorities. From antiquity, her double martyrdom of virginity and blood has been praised. In his On Virgins, that's a title, St. Ambrose writes, "As a bride, she would not be hastening to join her husband with the same joy she shows as a virgin on her way to punishment, crowned not with flowers, but with holiness of life, adorned not with braided hair, but with Christ himself." And Agnes is invoked as the patron of young girls. You might want to keep that in mind. Not that I want your children to follow in those footsteps and be martyred at the age of 13. But what an example, even at 13, of being willing to follow the Lord steadfastly. God chooses what is weak in the world to confound the strong, and it's true. God chooses the weak. So never think, if you feel weak or poor or whatever the case may be, don't think that cancels you out. Those are characteristics that God draws to himself more and more. Come to him. Please, brothers and sisters, come to him. The first reading today from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, through chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all, when he offered himself. Listen to that again. He did that once for all. That's you. When he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests. But the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. Now every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus the necessity for this one also to have something to offer. If then he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law. They worship in a copy and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, as Moses was formed when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For God says, See that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now he has obtained so much more excellent a ministry, as he is a mediator of a better covenant. He is mediator, not a mediator. He is mediator of a better covenant enacted on better promises. God promises you eternal life if you confess your sin, if you do penance, and if you seek to follow him more and more closely every day. That's not on the outside. That's what's going on in the inside. Do you give God time every day? I've said that to you again and again, and I mean it. Give God time. And you say, no, I can't. I'm too busy. Please, brothers and sisters, God is first and foremost in all of our lives. Whatever our calling is in life, all of us who are Christian, that's our first priority, is him. Let us seek to follow him more closely. In fact, the responsorial psalm for today says, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. You know, I took a time in my life where I prayed that psalm every day, and I'll read it to you now, and I prayed it every day for a while. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will, not my will. God gives us leeway to do what we would like many times. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. That's what's first. Sacrifice and oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. I announce your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. May all who seek you exult and be glad in you, and may those who love your salvation say ever, the Lord be glorified. You know, brothers and sisters, all of us listening to this program, all of us, including me and the sisters in my community, what's going to happen is we are all going to die. Each of us. We're not going to live forever here. We're going to die. And I want, as I die, to be able to say to the Lord, I love you. I've followed you as best I can. That's what we want. Because to do God's will should be our delight. And is it? Is it really? Is his will our delight? And no. No, it isn't. No, we fight it. We fight. We want what we want, and we want God to bless what we want. But I'm speaking as one who's gone through this and is going through this too. But more and more, brothers and sisters, let us turn to God first and say, Lord, is this your will? Please, brothers and sisters, please, put him first. And you imagine, you can't imagine really how life will change if you really do. It won't appear exactly in big, wide, you know, signs and sirens, etc., but there'll be a new peace in your heart. And a new openness to him, and a love for his word. It will grow in you. Please take time. It's the most important thing, because we want to be with him forever. And I want to be there, I hope and pray, and I want you to be there with me. So let us together seek the Lord. Every day, put our needs before him. And ask him to help us. In the Gospel of Mark for today, chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. You do not want the devil making you known. You want the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of God. That's what you want. That's what you seek to follow. That's what we all desire. It's the righteousness, the goodness, the love, the mercy, the understanding, the power of our God. And I ask you, please, brothers and sisters, you know, I want to say to you, if you could just do this for me for this next week, would you read the gospel that's recorded for every day of this next week? Just read the gospel sometime during the day. If you have a pattern of prayer every day, insert this, the daily reading. You can read any other passages you want, but do take the gospel of the day and read it. We could take all the readings, but let's start with the gospel and ask God to touch our hearts. Ask God to open us to the power of his loving will. Because, brothers and sisters, our will has a very short life, but God's will lasts forever. I want God's will. Sometimes, you know, sounds foolish, but sometimes it's just good to say to the Lord, "Lord," and I did this at one time in my life, "I want your will. I don't like your will, but I want your will." And God hears that prayer. And he helped me. Didn't come with a scroll. He didn't speak to me. He just brought me peace and quiet of heart. Brothers and sisters, you can talk to him about anything you want to, but please, most of all, say, "Lord, I want to love you more and do your will more perfectly or more lovingly than I have. Please help me." There's a writing by a Mother Agnes of Jesus who said this, and I want to close very briefly with this. She said, "True prayer, unending and indispensable prayer, is fidelity to the lights that Jesus may give us whenever he wants to do so." That is what I understand by prayer. And to me, it does not look difficult. It seems as easy as breathing fresh air that is familiar to us. It is our particular grace. It was the particular grace of the Holy Family in Nazareth and Jesus in his public life. "My Father never leaves me alone because I do the things that please him," Jesus said. Let us then try always to please our Heavenly Father so as always to enjoy his presence. That's what God wants. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.